And now I'd like to invite Keith Fugley to please come up and present a bit further about total factor productivity and what he has learned over the years in his research capacity.
Thank you, Margaret, and thank you for the invitation to come out and join this morning's event and to talk a little bit about recent developments in global agricultural productivity. Well, productivity is definitely back on the policy agenda with rising food prices, increased heightened concerns about resource scarcities, increased risk from climate change. It's being recognized more and more that we're really going to rely on maintaining productivity growth to meet the rapid increases in demand that are projected for global agriculture. So if we look back at what we've achieved over the last 50 years, we recognize that, you know, you raise output, you raise supply either by bringing more land into production or getting more output from that land, or what we call yield. And according to the FAO, over the last 50 years, about 70% of the increase in food production has come from yield growth, and only about 30% from bringing in more agricultural land. And the projections are in the future is that to maintain that output growth at historical rates, we're going to have even rely more heavily on raising yield. But where does this yield come from? Well, there's really two essential kind of conceptual ways we can think about raising yield. One is through input intensification, which is basically putting more stuff on that, putting more inputs into each hectare of farmland, more fertilizers, more capital, more labor, more energy. And that's what we call an input intensification process. And of course, farmers do that when prices are high and when the economic incentives are there. But this total factor productivity concept that Margaret was talking about was really looking at, can we get more output from each without having to intensify inputs? Can we raise, through new technology and improved efficiency, can we get more output from the existing total bundle of research of resources, of factors of production? So what we're thinking about here is, from this bundle of land, labor, capital, and energy, can we grow output without raising that total bundle? Maybe substituting some inputs, raising some, and decreasing others as conditions permit, but overall raising the total input productivity or total factor productivity of agriculture. And in fact, we try to do this empirically. But it's also important from policy perspective, because what we recognize is that this total factor productivity is really being driven by a different set of policy and economic instruments. Primarily, total factor productivity over the long run is conditioned by what our investments are in research and extension, the development of new technologies, keeping that pipeline of new technologies full, and creating the right conditions so that those technologies, once they're available, are widely and rapidly adopted by farmers to get that productivity increase at the farm level. And so at the Economic Research Service, we've undertaken an empirical exercise to try to say, well, over the past, how have we done? Can we look at the total growth in agricultural supply, either in the United States or now for the globe, and say, what has been the contribution of each of these sources of growth? How much of this growth in supply has come from bringing new resources, new land and water into production? How much has it come from this input intensification process? And how much can we attribute to total factor productivity, which is this goal for raising output in a more sort of environmentally friendly way? The other thing about total factor productivity is, because you're basically getting more output from the same or fewer resources, that means that it can lead to actually reducing your costs of production. And that can lead to lower food prices, making food more available for a wider part of the global population. So when we do this exercise empirically and try to break out what have been the factors of growth, what we find is a rather interesting result, is that what this graph shows is it breaks out by decade. First of all, the height of that of the bar, of the total bar, is the average annual growth during that decade in agricultural supply. So it takes 190 crop and livestock commodities, adds them all up, and says how fast has global supply been growing. And each decade over the last five decades, global agricultural supply has been growing at between 2 and 2.5% per year and has maintained that level pretty steadily. But the sources of that growth have really shifted from a resource-based and an input intensification-based growth to this TFP-based growth. So in other words, the rate at which we are bringing more land into production, or the rate at which we're increasing fertilizer application rates or energy use per acre, those sources of growth, the rate of growth in those factors have really been slowing down. But what has enabled output supply growth to keep at those historical levels is through this improved efficiency and technological change, this total factor productivity improvement. Now, if we go to, this is a global picture, but if we look more detail and say, well, what's responsible for this raising of the global average over this last 50 years, we find that most of this has come from improved productivity performance in developing countries. The developed countries have always had a fairly robust TFP growth, at least over the last 50 years. But what has emerged over this period is that several developing countries, especially key ones like Brazil and China, have really increased the rate at which they're growing their agriculture through a TFP-led growth strategy rather than a resource or input intensification growth strategy. And that has really pulled up the global average. Now, about 3 years ago, we launched an international collaborative effort with a lot of other researchers looking at this productivity issue, at least from an economic perspective, to say, can we learn more about what's going on in different parts of the world? And this effort, actually, we had some support from the Global Harvest Initiative as well as the Farm Foundation. And we just released an edited volume of a series of 15 case studies. It was published last month by CAB International, CABI, out of the UK, that really examines in much more detail trends in different regions and different countries of the world, and importantly, what were the economic and policy drivers of the productivity trends that we saw in those different regions. And what we found, if I can just summarize globally, try to summarize concisely what those combined studies were finding, is that growth in TFP across global agriculture, although it's increased and accelerated, remains highly uneven. Many parts of the world really have not seen much improvement in TFP or have seen stagnation. Sub-Saharan Africa is the key region of the world where really there has been very little productivity growth in agriculture even up to date. But even if we look at these stellar performers like Brazil and China, and we start drilling down and saying, well, what is this uniform across those countries, or are certain parts, certain regions of those countries showing better productivity performance than others, we find that even within countries, within large countries, there's geographic disparity in terms of where productivity is growing and where it isn't. And one consideration is coastal provinces or areas that are better connected to global markets seem to be doing better in raising their productivity, improving their efficiency, responding to economic opportunities afforded by that market access than provinces more in the interior. Now, one big exception, if you look at that map, you say right in the middle of Latin America, there's a brown area. That means rapid productivity growth since the mid-1990s. That's really the Cerrado region, where there's been significant technical changes taking place with adaptation of crop varieties to tropical conditions and better management of soil fertility. That's become the new soybean belt of Brazil. But even if we look at countries like the United States, which overall has maintained fairly steady TFP growth over a long period of time, we find regional disparities. So that Corn Belt and Lake State regions have done fairly well, but Great Plains and some of our horticultural states like California and Florida may be seeing some productivity slowdown or stagnation. Now, if we look at the policy drivers or economic forces that are helping to explain why we see these differences, one consistent factor across the world that comes out is investments in research have a critical role to play in determining whether productivity is growing or not in these different regions and these different countries. Now, in terms of the GAP report, what the GHI has done is they've asked the question, at what rate will we need to grow productivity in order to double food supply by 2050? So if you need to double global food supply in 40 years, you need to do it in an average annual compounded rate of about 1.75%. And then they ask the question, Can we do that just with current resources? Can we do it, in other words, just through a TFP growth strategy? And what policies would it take to get that kind of growth strategy or to maintain it? And so what they've done is they've taken this global TFP index that ERS has developed and said, well, are we sort of on the right path? And at least for this decade, it looks like the rate at which global agricultural TFP is growing is roughly on a path that would allow global food supply to double in 40 years if that rate can be maintained. But the current rate, the current accelerated rate of TFP growth that we see is really the fruit of policy decisions that were made years ago or even decades ago, in particular to raise research capacity in many of these developing countries. And to maintain this rate or even accelerate this rate would require continued robust investment in agricultural research and extending that investment more equitably worldwide to raise up areas of the world that continue to see low productivity growth. So I think with that, I'll turn it over to Laura. Thank you.